This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit shareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. This is podcast number 172. And it's Wednesday, the 4th of February. And Henry and I are here to bring you another podcast. So we'll say a big hello to HT Viola.
Hello, Peter. Hello, Hi, audience. How are we all doing?
Yeah. Henry's good. Henry's good. I have to give him his full name, obviously. Sir Henry Viola Hare, because that's what he is to many, as he's walking, you know, to work, and people greet him with their top hats and they go, hello, sir. Morning, sir. Right, Henry, we're sitting today, despite all the wobbles and the chop and your idea of what the podcast we should discuss today. The last pod we did 2 weeks ago, we talked about volatility of the markets and watch out. And, you know, there's lots going on and the market's near high, so be careful. What happened? Last 2 days of the month of January, markets went and had a bit of a wobble, mainly mining related stocks then. Yeah. The gold, the copper, the silver, all the stocks went up because what happened with gold? You know, got a bit too dizzy.
It was going to happen.
A bit of a snapback. Silver the same. The Thursday of the last trading week in January and the Friday, another wallop. And everyone's going, it's Armageddon over the weekend. And it seems to have calmed itself down now. Yeah. And then we'll get into this a bit later on, folks. We've had another wobble on the markets. Yeah. Yesterday and today. However, Henry, my dear friend, we are sat with the FTSE going, we're not bothered about that. We're sitting, Henry, at a FTSE 100 all-time high. That's where we closed today.
Yep.
At 10,402.
Yep.
Yeah, a new, brand new high. I want to share these names with you folks, right? And I know some of you have got them. And, you know, congratulations to all of you that are sitting there having ridden through the volatility and have kept these stocks. These were the biggest contributors today, weighted-wise, not percentage of how much the share price rose today. Weighted-wise, that contributed to the FTSE sitting at all-time highs. They were Shell, GSK, BP, National Grid, Reckitt Benckiser, HSBC, Diageo, Compass Group, Haleon, Vodafone, Tesco, and SSE PLC. Those were the biggies, Henry, that really pulled that above 10,400. I know some people had gone short at 10,000, had gone short at 10,100, had gone short at 10,200. The FTSE is sitting at 10,400 as we speak. And irrational exuberance, it could be. It could be very, very interesting indeed. Henry, you're going to talk about some of the losers and some of the volatility and some of the chop. We've got to give a little bit of a thought for Nick Train and Terry Smith and all the fund managers that bought all the safe stocks that have been absolutely battered over the last 2 days because of what's happening with Anthropic. Is that how it's pronounced?
That is Anthropic. I've got to say,
Anthropic.
I don't think they're going to struggle too much. From what I know of Terry Smith, he's got quite a nice place in the Bahamas or something and a nice yacht. So he's I think he's doing all right for himself.
they've got some wealth, but some of their stocks that they hold, the likes of, I think it's Sage, Relex, London Stock Exchange, etc.
Experian.
I've been battered. I do old. I will talk about some of that later on. That I've been battered too on the likes of Relex, which I've spoken about before. I was being battered last time I was speaking to it with Matt on podcast 170. And I was going, I hope it stops. And it's just carried on, folks. It's just carried on. Am I still holding the stock? Yes. Have I bought some more? Yes. Today. Will it stop falling? I don't know. But I'm holding my hand up and saying, I'm being honest with you, ladies and gents. Yes, I'm holding. Am I in pain with it, with that particular stock? Yes, but it's part and part of parcel and nature
Didn't
of
your
investing.
mother tell you not to catch falling knives, Peter? Was that not a lesson that
These are
you
all
were
these are the only
taught?
fingers I've got left, Henry. I'm holding up three on each hand. No one knows. That's why I'm called Conker3 on Twitter. Catching knives is my thing. There you go. Three fingers, folks. Only three left.
Brutal,
Anyway,
brutal.
more serious. Go on.
But we are going to get into this a little bit later on, folks. So in case you couldn't guess, the theme of today's episode is going to be all about volatility, what it means for your portfolio, what it means for investing, and how to respond to it. But before we get into that, do stay with us because we've got a lot of shares coming up that we're going to discuss. But before we get into that, I have had messages from a few members of the audience over the last couple of weeks asking what is going on with the Twin Peaks Investing Competition.
Yep.
And I have said, please bear with me. We are going to announce the winners. And as promised, today we are going to announce the winners. We have got a bit of a backlog. We've got nearly 6 months to get through, plus the big bumper winners for 2025. So before we get into the shares that we're going to discuss today, and before Peter and I get into the topic of volatility, we'd just like to thank you for your patience and to announce the winners. So,
Yeah. Henry, we're going to do that after I've shared some news. Right? I've got to share some news. Yeah. Please let me interrupt because that's very important, but I need to share this bit of news. We spoke in the last pod about what Henry and I wanted to do. I'd had the conversation with Henry. I'd attended Mark Bentley's funeral on Monday, the 26th, if I recall correctly. I traveled down to London, attended the funeral, spoke to family. I'd been speaking with ShareSoc and their directors about putting something together so we can honor Mark and create a legacy for the work that he'd done regarding financial inclusion and financial education and financial literacy. And I discussed with them, and I'm going to cut long story short now. I've set up a Just Giving page for Mark Bentley to honor him, and it's via Henry and I. So we're going to have that page as our Twin Peaks charity fundraising page in honor of Mark Bentley. It is with the FT, the Financial Times Financial Literacy and Inclusion Campaign, right? They've got their own organizations, so an FT supported charity that aims to democratize financial education for young people and marginalized communities. Massive organization. Doing a fantastic piece of work in different pockets of the communities around the country, but also more importantly within schools. And that's what we're going to dedicate this year's fundraising in honor of Mark to. Well, no, lots of you knew him via his work at ShareSoc and also with Mello. So I hope that you, ladies and gents, will help us support that campaign. Let me just give you a little bit of background on the what they call themselves the FT Flick, Financial Education Literacy Inclusion Campaign. And what they do is basically look to raise funds to ensure there's meaningful education in the UK across the 23 million adults that are seen to have poor financial literacy. 23 million. That's a lot of people to try and help and support. So FT Flick will promote financial literacy where it's needed most to have significant and sustainable societal impact. The charity will work at grassroots level, but will also seek to influence the macro policy while also building a platform of homegrown and partner content that will be leveraged globally for maximum effect. Financial resilience can be boosted enormously by understanding how money works in everyday life. Our initial focus will be on the UK, though we aim to expand globally over time. The wealth gap in the UK and around the world has been widened by the COVID pandemic. We all forget about that, exacerbating the deprivation for many, adding to the challenges facing young people and weighing disproportionately on women. So that's what they're about. That's the campaign we're going to run for Mark with regards to raising money this year. And you lovely, fantastic, generous individuals can help us. We're going to put a target up of £5,000 which we smashed the last year. So I'm hoping you guys can, and ladies can support us. And the Just Giving page I put up is at www.justgiving.com/page Twin Peaks Investing Podcast 2026. 2026. Yeah, 2026. So that's what the page that you can find it at, ladies and gents. And I'll put some links in various different platforms so you can find it. And I look forward to be able to share with you all how much we're raising on an ongoing basis and who the individuals have been and that have made donations. But this is all going to go to support Mark Bentley's legacy of financial education and literacy. Thoughts, Henry?
I love it. I absolutely love it. I mean, Mark was, he was a fantastic gentleman, as we said on the last podcast. And, you know, I think it's absolutely fitting that we're raising money this year for something like the FT Financial Literacy and Inclusion Campaign. I mean, the FT is a brand that is recognized around the world for showcasing financial news. And what better way than to honor Mark than to be donating and raising funds for this organization that does so much to help disadvantaged people understand what's going on with the world of investing. And, you know, part of the reason that I love it so much is not just because we're raising money to support Mark, but because actually this charity, it's so, it resonates so much with what you and I are doing here. I mean, I'm not Absolutely. Doing this, you know, there are other things I could be doing with my Wednesday evening. I'll put it that way. I do enjoy doing the podcast, but what are we doing it for? Well, part of it's about bringing people into investing, helping shine a torch into those dark corners of what the stock market is, making it make sense for people, helping people to take control of the financial futures. So I think it's a wonderful idea to be raising funds in memory of Mark Bentley. I think it's a wonderful charity you've selected, Peter. And I'm really excited to be raising funds for it in 2026.
Thank you, Henry. And I'm looking forward to having some more conversations with them as well going forward as to how we actually, you know, delegate the funds and whether we can specify exactly what they do with that money. So I'm having some further conversations going forward.
Lovely.
Okie dokie. Onwards, Henry. Go for it,
onwards.
Mate.
Onwards. So, yes, please do, if you get a chance, pop over to justgiving.com, drop a few pounds in the bucket, get us started for 2026. Coming back to the competition, my memory goes a little bit fuzzy because it's been that long since we've announced a win. I think we got up to about June. I think the last winner we announced was June, and I think it was at Smudge Dan with a 43% return in June. So I am going to announce the winners for each month for the rest of 2025. Those winners can then contact Peter to receive their prize for the month. We're then going to pause, and I'm going to announce the top three winners for the whole of the year. So for July, with a return of 42.8%, we have at Chef Trader 2. That's at Chef Trader 2 with a 42.8% return. For the month of August, with a 25.9% return, we have at D Suarez. That's D S A U R E Z. At D Suarez with a 25.9% return. For the month of September, with a 63% return, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the highest all year, we have an all-time favorite at jam4u_75. That's at jam4u_75 for the month of September with a 63% return.
That's amazing.
In October, and this is the biggest return of any month for the whole of the year. 95.9% for the month of October. We have our.
Are you sure you've done your numbers correctly?
I have done my numbers correctly, and I know what caused this. We have at Go Left Master.
Ben?
Ben, the biggest
Go
return
Ben.
Any month of the whole year at Go Left Massa for the month of October with a
Wow.
95.9% return.
And what was the
Astonishing.
big sh what was the big stock that was
I think
pushing
the
that?
driving force behind that was Emerson, EML.
EML. Wow, that's a good month then. That's amazing.
I might not be right there. The other things he held were Ascent Resources, AST, Eco Buildings Group, Patterson Metals, PAT, and Shearwater, SWG. I
Right,
personally think
okay.
if I had a portfolio that looked like that, I'd be a nervous wreck. So,
Ben's made of sturdier stuff than you, mate. That's what it is. Oh,
congratulations,
dear.
Ben. That is the best return of any of the portfolios we had in a single month.
Do you remember the old advert for Iron Brew?
Yes.
Well, made from girders.
Made from girders. Legendary stuff.
I think
Legendary.
That I might be doing him some disservice, but I think he's from up north, that sort of type, you know, that
Yeah.
sort of space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Legendary
Anyway,
stuff.
but not Scotland.
So
Right.
moving on,
Okay.
For the month of November, we have another big time fan of the podcast here, a gentleman we have both met, at FTSE Bets.
FTSE Bets over in, I'm going to say Belfast.
I want to
Belfast?
say Belfast. I would
Yeah.
try an Irish accent, but I'll probably
No,
cause some international
don't.
incident.
FTSE Bets. Yeah, well
with a
done, FTSE Bets.
30.3% return, very well done.
Yep, yeah. I can deal with 30% return. That's very good. But 95. Oof.
30, not 30.
Oh, sorry.
13. And finally, our last monthly winner for the month of December, with a 20.4% return, at Tiger Want. That's at Tiger, WONT, at Tiger
Brilliant.
Want. So,
amazing.
if you guys write in, let Peter know, stick your hand up, we will get your prizes sorted for you.
Yeah, so those prizes are, ladies and gents, a one-month subscription to Share Scope. Yeah. Every one of you will get one more subscription. You can then check it out, the platform, see if you like it. And if you want to, then you can carry on to subscribe. And hopefully you can either negotiate some sort of discount using the Twin Peaks investing podcast code. Yeah. So good luck. Well done. And well done, all of you winners there. Those are some fantastic returns. But I've got to give a whoop whoop for Ben and also Jam for you. 63% and 95.
Those are our top two. Those are our top two monthly returns.
Staggering numbers for a month.
Yeah.
Staggering numbers.
It's astonishing. And it shows you,
right,
you
okay.
know, there's a little bit of volatility in there. I just to tie it back to our theme, a little bit of volatility.
Yeah. I mean, just let's go back to Mr. Terry Smith and Nick Train. And just say, throughout all of last year, they did not have a month that was anywhere near any of our monthly winners.
No, I don't think that whole year stuck up to...
you know, and this is about choosing very small cap, risky, volatile stocks versus choosing the absolute vanilla and essence of quality metrics.
I suspect some of our listeners might take exception to that. We've got some interesting names. We've also got some names, and I think, geez, guys, I mean, you know, were you playing lucky dip with the, you know, small cap 50
lucky
index?
Dip.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, well, staggering, mate. Well done. Very well done. Right,
so,
Henry, do we need drums?
We do need drums, but I don't think the microphone will pick them up.
The clap. Is the countdown, folks. We're clapping down for the overall winner.
Third
three
place.
Reverse order,
in
by the way.
Third
reverse
place
order. Yep.
For the year of 2025, with a return of 163%. Let me just double check. Let me just double check the math on that. Bear with
me.
Bear with me.
Come
one second. I know. No, it is. It's 163%, ladies and gentlemen.
For the overall comp.
For the overall
comp. And they've only managed third.
And they've only managed third.
Listen, I'm going to get Verity to check these numbers for you when you finish, mate.
You will know why. You will know why when I read out what they've got.
All right. Give me that percentage again. Sorry.
163%.
Oh, that can't be right.
That is right. And you will know why when I tell you what
Okay,
these
give me the
people
give me
hold.
That person's name.
We
please.
Have got at, well, actually, I can give you his full name. It's Richard Sutton.
Richard Sutton. Okay.
At Richard Sutt 76.
Richard Richard Sutt 76. Well, congratulations, Richard, mate. I'm sorry you're only in third place. That's really, really amazing.
I am. Let's do the top three, and I will explain why these have shot through the roof. If you can't guess already,
okay, you're giving us the portfolios then. Okay, go for it.
So in second place, we have got with 164% return, Daniel S. Perez at D. Suarez, with 164% return.
Wow.
Which leaves us with our overall winner for the year.
Yes.
With an unbelievable, eye-watering, amazing, we should have this thing up in on a billboard somewhere with the Twin Peaks, our audience wins, right? As you come out of Bank Station, I think we should have this on the side of the Bank of England, ladies and gents.
Recruit this person now.
With a 205% return. 205% return, right? I challenge some of our listeners to tell me they've done that in 10 years, let alone one.
Wow. Wow.
We have Chef Trader 2.
Wow.
205%, ladies and gentlemen.
Hats off to you, Chef Trader.
If you are wondering,
absolutely staggering.
If you are wondering, ladies and gentlemen, what has caused these eye-wateringly fantastic returns, and you've not figured it out yet, there is one thing on the stock market that has gone absolutely bananas at the end of 2025 and continues to go almost parabolic, and that is the mining sector.
Yep.
All three of these portfolios are packed to the gills with commodities businesses. They are Arc Minerals, Asia Met Resources, Petrotal, Mila Resources, Central Asia Metals, Serabi Gold, Resolute Mining, Pan African Resources. These are commodities businesses, and the price of commodities has gone up and up and up. So if you picked five commodities businesses last year, ladies and gentlemen, you could have had triple digit returns. Do I suggest that's a safe way to run money long term?
Yes.
I'm a little skeptical, but very well done to all three of our winners.
Wow. That is amazing.
Isn't it just?
So you just sent me that detail there. So Arc Minerals, Asia Met Resources, Macango Resources had a good year. Borders and South Petroleum, that's not even one I've ever looked at, Henry. And Andrada Mining, we spoke about a couple of pods ago.
The tin business, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Right. Afrentra, I've not heard of that one.
A few people have picked that. That's done.
Yeah.
You know, that's
Jadestone Energy.
Yeah, a few people picked that. JSE.
Mila Resources, never heard of that. Thor Explorations, I've heard of that one.
Yeah.
Sarabi, I've heard of. I own Camel Asia Metals, Central Asia Metals. Helix Exploration, not one on my radar. Resolute, I've heard of it. Resolute Mining. Pan Africa Resources, I hailed many moons ago. I'd hate to go. You know, when we did that other conversation about.
Don't do it to yourself. Don't do it.
About CNC. And it was 14 times since I've. 14 bags since I left it.
Incidentally, I owe the audience a bit of a clarification on that. When I listened back to that episode, you asked me if I own that. And I misheard you and said, no, I do own Concurrent Technologies CNC.
Yeah, I thought you did. You mentioned it a couple of times. Yeah.
It's been a long year, ladies and gentlemen.
It's been a long month so far for you already, mate,
yeah.
So I fully understand
that.
So
apologies
that. Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
I do try to declare when I own something that I'm talking about. That was an unintentional oversight on my part. I do own
it. And congratulations on holding it, mate. Yeah,
it's done quite well for me, actually.
It's continued to do well. But I suspect that could be a multi-bagger that I've left behind as well with PAF, because it was so long ago that I held that. But hey, oh, it happens, mate. Henry, I'm sat here. I'm still going like that with Chef Trader and Daniel Suarez and Richard. I think I'm going to have to sort something out because there's only 1% between the second and third. See if we can help Richard out and Daniel out as well, so we can get some stuff for, because it should only be first and second that gets prizes. But there's 1% between the two, so I'm going to try and sort something out, negotiate something. So the winner's going to get 12-month subscription to Investors Chronicle, and also a 12-month subscription to ShareScope. And ordinarily, it should be 6 months subscription to ShareScope for the second prize winner, Daniel, and unfortunately nothing for the third. But I'm going to try and sort something out. Leave that with me, Richard, and I'll let you know when I've sorted something out. But we'll see what we can do for both Daniel and also Richard with regards to, I'm going to
we will sort something.
We'll sort something out. But huge, huge, huge congratulations with those numbers. They are absolutely staggering. So very, very well done.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
Terrific. Now, Henry, you've got something you'd like to share to round up the reasons why we've not mentioned the 2026 potential competition.
So, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, Peter started this competition way before I came on the show, and it's been a bit of a staple of the Twin Peaks investing community. And I took over running the figures for this about 2 years ago, and I've been happy to do it. I enjoy it. I like looking at the portfolios, and it's lovely giving prizes away, as it were. It's something nice that we do. But after running the competition through 2025, we've taken the decision not to run it again in 2026. The competition was really designed to do more than just hand out prizes. The whole purpose of it was to try to drive engagement with the podcast, to spark conversations with you guys online, and to build an interactive community around the show. And in practice, I was seeing less and less participation and engagement from people, to the point where prize winners weren't even responding when they were being contacted. We actually had one person that wrote back after 6 months, of being a winner, and we couldn't get hold of them. And given the time and the effort it takes us to put this together and to run it and to organize the prizes and ship them, we don't think it makes sense to continue this when the engagement's just not there. And so for that reason, we are suspending the competition for 2026. We're very grateful to everyone that has taken part, and we're going to continue focusing on our energy on improving the podcast and finding more effective ways to contact all of you and engage with you throughout 2026. So although this means that there isn't a formal sort of structured, here you go, you can enter the competition and win prizes, there are going to be prizes up for grabs this year. Peter and I will be looking at people that are engaging, that are commenting, that are sending us messages publicly, that are tagging the podcast and sharing ideas on Blue Sky, on X, and on LinkedIn. And we will be awarding best contributors prizes throughout the year, if and when we see positive engagement, not just with the pod, but with other members of the audience as well. There will be little prizes going out. So do keep your eyes peeled on that space. Thank you again, to everybody that has entered. It's been a pleasure running the numbers to run the competition. And please do remember to engage with us throughout 2026. And we look forward to giving away some freebies through the year.
Absolutely. Well said, Henry. And thank you, everybody, for supporting the pod, as you have done in the past, and also continually regarding the charity fundraise that we've done, and also engaging with the pod, leaving comments, liking, and subscribing more so on YouTube and on X, and following us and commenting consistently. We'll be looking to reward you, ladies and gents, going forward. Just a last shout, Henry, to Chef Trader, D. Suarez, Jam for You, Golef Massa, Footsie Betts, and Tiger Wants, and Richard Sutton, Daniel Suarez again, and Chef Trader. to contact me regarding getting those prizes, please. If you know of these individuals, please, please tell them, if you've listened to the pod, that they're up for some prizes of the Twin Peaks podcast, and to contact me on X or Blue Sky, if that's where you're using more so, or even LinkedIn. Right, Henry, thank you ever so much for crunching those numbers, sir. I'm sorry I didn't believe you, and I was going to have Verity mark your homework, but those are some staggering numbers, mate, for the top three. You know, absolutely amazing.
They are astonishing. And this is one of the things I love about investing. You know, when it goes well, when it works, oh boy, does it feel good. You know, it when you find one of these little gems, and the stars align and things work out, I mean, it's a fantastic feeling. It's lovely. When you get a big winner, it's fantastic. So
yeah.
Be patient, keep learning, keep tuning into the podcast. We've got lots more episodes.
Absolutely agree with you, mate. Absolutely agree. With regards to big winners, Henry, before we go to the next bit, I wanted to share, folks, that I think we mentioned it on the last pod about the situation with Beazley. And we spoke about the insurance stocks, Aviva, Hiscox, Lancashire Holdings, I think we did as well, and Elgen. All of them have been climbing over the last, today mainly. They've been climbing since the last pod, and also pop today. And the reason behind that is because today Beazley has recommended a bid from Zurich of £13.10 per share plus 25 pence of dividends for when and if Zurich come back and make a firm offer. That's what they're willing to recommend. So £13.35 in total for the shares. And everyone else is now going out. I say everyone else. Lots of investors are going out looking for what else is in that space. So Lancashire has gone up today. Elgin has gone up today. I think it's sitting at 52-week highs. Hiscox has gone up today significantly. I think that's again at 52-week highs, if not all-time highs. So, yeah, people looking for the next one. Will there be a 50, 60% premium, as was Beazley? I do not know. But there is a discount out there, and I put that out on a post just a couple of hours ago. We still suffer from a UK discount, I think. I've spoken to fund managers, and they say it's nonsense. But that's why we're getting premiums of 50, 60%, you know?
Yeah.
And there'll be more coming in the next 3 to 9 months of 2026. And I'll speak about some stocks which I think could potentially be in that. I don't buy stocks just for takeovers. I buy stocks because they're undervalued, and I don't like buying stocks at premiums to what I think the valuation is. I like to buy something which I think is all underlooked, you know, off the radar, and possibly unloved. And this is where you get these big premiums coming sometimes when they sort themselves out. So, Henry, talking about overlooked stocks just then, I want to talk quickly about, you use a particular word when we were talking about all the bastardizations that were going on regarding AI and that loop of all these companies.
The circular funding
was the term you politely used. This is the circular funding, like financial engineering thing going on, but by a certain individual who is now, well, and has been for some time, continues to get richer, the richest man in the world. Okay. And I'm sure he's determined to be deemed the first trillionaire. His value is currently deemed at about 850 billion. But an interesting thing that's happened in the past 3 months, Henry, and no one's talking about it enough, I don't think, right? So a couple of years back now, and some of the people that have left Twitter who are still listening to us will remember this day, maybe 2 or 3 years ago now, Elon Musk purchased X. Yeah, Twitter, and it became X, okay? And he did all what he did to it and made it more efficient, allegedly, and did this and that. But advertisers were leaving the platform and so on and so on and so forth. Wasn't seem to be making as much profits on and with X as was deemed appropriate or what he said he was going to be able to get. X amount of months ago, X was bought out by Elon Musk's startup AI vehicle called XAI. Do you recall that, Henry?
Yeah, okay. I do.
This week, XAI got bought out by SpaceX. Loss-making XAI, losing estimated £1 billion per month. Yeah, has been attached to SpaceX, given a combined valuation of 1.5 trillion as a potential IPO going forward.
Yep.
Yeah. So only thing left to do is to, you know, merge Tesla into X, into SpaceX going forward. Then he's got, you know, which will be then
£4 trillion. There's a certain level of financial engineering, and Donald Trump has done the same thing. There's a really good documentary that, I think it was the Wall Street Journal did a couple of years ago. There are a couple of short segments on Donald Trump's tax affairs and his business history. It's not a pleasant read if you've got a bad stomach for bad business practices, I'll put it that way. But effectively, it goes through how on earth this guy has managed to survive going bankrupt six times and yet still has hundreds of millions in access, in accessible cash. Why is he not bankrupt and in the gutter? Because if I tried that, you know, I'd be in a park somewhere going, well, I used to be whoever. But Donald Trump's not, and neither is Elon Musk. The financial engineering that these people do to gain cash, borrow against assets, lend against shares that they've got, issue shares at premiums, you know, it's almost as though, I mean, Tesla is a collapsing company by any metric, but it's on a forecast PE of like 850. The shareholders clearly do not give a monkey's about the fundamentals of the business. All they're interested in is the fact it's got Elon Musk at the top of it. Now, in a world where that is true, that is a very different business dynamic to your regular company. You know, if Microsoft, you know, was effectively going bankrupt, the share price would not be the same. The share price would probably go to zero. And maybe Tesla, XAI, SpaceX, maybe these are going to zero as well one day. But for now, that clown show is still on the road. The clown car still continues forward, you know. And like it or not, XAI swallowing Twitter, and then SpaceX swallowing XAI, and then Tesla swallowing SpaceX. It's not adding cash to the balance sheet, but somehow it keeps the thing on the road.
Keeps it on the road, and also, I mean, you don't get to know what the financial metrics are on an individual basis for Twitter going forward anymore.
It's all private,
or for XAI going forward anymore.
Yep.
And he's seeking potentially a 1.5 trillion valuation for the IPO on his birthday. What a fantastic present that will be in June of 2026.
Mm.
Yeah. And it amazes me that you can lose $1 billion a month, sorry, for, you know, for X amount of months, and still garner a valuation of 250 billion. Not sure who gave that valuation, but we often talk about, oh, that's a loss making stock in the UK, and it's a tiddler stock, and it's losing 10 million a year, and da 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 da, and it'll be years before they make a profitability. Put Elon Musk's names to it, and you can get a 250 times valuation for a loss making company, or a 250,000 times valuation for a company.
My advice, not that I'm allowed to give advice, but my opinion on this, you are not playing in the same pool with a business like that as a regular investment. You are literally gambling on a black hole. You don't know what's going on inside it.
Mm.
Elon Musk doesn't care about you and me as an investor. I guarantee you that. So you can't trust your management team. You're not sure what the business is valued based on, and you're hoping someone will pay more for it in 10 years' time than today. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But to me, that's taking on an awful lot of risk. So buyer beware.
It is. Yeah. The last thing I've got on SpaceX, Henry, and you can crunch the numbers on this in your own time, right? But the last numbers for SpaceX was SpaceX generated circa 8 billion of profit, okay, on a 15 to 16 billion of revenue last year.
So it's got a 50%
right?
profit margin.
That's what it's alleging. But just say the revenue is 16 billion. I'm not sure he's got lots of contracts everywhere, which is fair enough. But given a 16 billion revenue company, a valuation of 1.5 trillion, what price per revenue is that?
Well, you look at that's to put it in a context that the average person might get. You're buying a cash flow from a company. That's the revenue, right? This is like me saying to you, I'm going to pay you £1.50 every year, and I'm going to grow it, let's say, at 20%. So next year, I'll pay you, what, £1.75, and then I'll pay you £2, and then £2.50. In order to access that cash flow, I want you to give me £2,000 today. It's that kind of scale.
Yeah.
You might as well just keep the £2,000 in your pocket and spend it yourself. It'd last you a lot longer than me paying you £2 a year. You'd be dead before you get your money back. So just be careful with these kinds of things, because, you know, I'm not saying that I can see the future. Maybe the revenue does go vertical. If you look at Amazon, for example, that was a loss-making business. That was nearly bankrupt. That was in the gutter 25 years ago. And now it's one of the biggest, most profitable businesses in the world. So I'm not saying that these things don't have the potential to become something amazing, but just be aware where the risk sits with this, because it doesn't sit with Elon Musk.
Agreed. And on that cautionary note, there are several UK funds, via Bailey, Bailey Gifford, SMT, the Edinburgh
Mortgage
Fund,
Mortgage.
EWI.
Yeah.
The USA fund, the one I can't pronounce, which is MNTN, the ticker symbol, the Shailen fund. Which, what do you know what I mean, Henry?
MNTN, I've never heard of it.
MNTN. You do a pronunciation for that one for me, because I haven't got a scoop.
Shahalian.
Shahalian.
Shahalian. That's how I'd say it. It might be Skahalian, but Shahalian fund.
Right. All of those have been increasing and moving on as the valuation of SpaceX has crept up and then gone, whoosh, spiked up. Yeah. I'm saying this cautionary, folks. Okay. Those particular funds have been absolutely chased over the last, chased in a positive way. You know, like they've got the, I won't say what I was going to say. They've been chased. Yeah. As my horse racing friend would say, a fancy filly. That's all I'm saying. They've done really well for investors. However, come June, they may get another spike. I'm not sure that valuation for SpaceX is sustainable at 1.5 trillion to 2 trillion to 2.5 for the valuations that these four funds and others are currently garnering. Yeah? I could be proven wrong.
I'm just going to interject here with a slight side note. Number one, I've never heard of the Shahalian fund, right? Just stuck it in on ShareScope. Question for the audience, right? Their top holding is nearly 15% of the fund. Something called Bending Spoons, SPA. What on earth is Bending Spoons? What is it, mind control technology?
It's probably unlisted, mate. It's probably unlisted.
Someone go and find out for me. What is Bending Spoons SPA, and why do these guys own 15.6% of it? Because I'm really curious about that. Really,
I don't curious. Know what that one is, but yeah.
It doesn't
probably,
even tell me what sector it's in. So, I mean, what is this Martian technology we're investing in now? I don't know. Anyway, on that bizarre note, On with the show. Volatility.
On with the show, mate. On with the show. We have some stocks we need to cover, Henry.
We do.
We will share that. Given the chop situation, I'll just mention this comment from one of my favoured commentators in the investment industry and who spoke at the Investor Summit last year, Simon French, the chief economist and head of research at Panmure Liberum.
What
his words were. With regards to the stocks we're going to talk about in a minute and what's been happening to some of our software stocks, 2.3 trillion, more than the valuation of SpaceX, knocked off global software stocks since the end of October.
That is a huge,
Yeah.
huge re-rating.
That's software companies. Yeah.
Getting
That's some of our
absolutely
companies.
mullered by the rise
Absolutely
of AI.
mullered. Yeah. One stock in
So,
the US, which we don't talk about, Henry. We often talk about Bloomberg here, but the equivalent on the other side is Reuters, the parent group for Reuters, Thomson Reuters. Last couple of days, absolutely smashed to pieces because of this Anthropic AI agentic sort of buzz. Over to you, Henry. So watch out, people.
Pete, that is the perfect talking point, because I've been looking at this the last couple of weeks, and oh my days, our market's volatile. We've got gold up, you know, what feels like 5 billion% in the space of about 5 minutes. You've got investors panicking about interest rates all over the place. You've got some of the biggest, highest quality name firms dropping double-digit percentages in a day, single trading session. And it doesn't just happen once, it happens two or three times.
Yep.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call in the investing game volatility. Volatility is when prices move. They can shoot up, they can shoot down. But the faster and the further prices move, the more volatile the market is. And what does this generally mean? Well, when volatility spikes, you tend to get more chatter on social media from people that are looking at the markets and either going, oh my days, my portfolio's in bits, what do I do? Or, oh my days, prices are rock bottom, I really want to load up. And this got me thinking, because volatility is a symptom of something. It's not actually a diagnosis. What volatility really is a measure of disagreement. The market can't make its mind up how a share should be valued, how a company should be valued. And that changes based on information. Some new information comes out, and all of a sudden, people are so uncertain. Well, I thought it was a £30 billion company, but maybe it's got more potential. Now it's probably a £40 billion, and the price shoots up 30%. Or, my goodness, a firm in China has suddenly launched a competitor to ChatGPT at a tenth of the price, and they're going to put this everywhere. And companies like Reuters are going to be out of business. We'd better halve the valuation, because it'll probably be gone this time next year.
Spot on.
That volatility, it's the market trying to price information. It's not necessarily a reflection of your business's cash flows and future potential. You've got to learn to differentiate between price risk and business risk. What people are talking about when volatility, oh my gosh, the price has shot up, or oh my gosh, the price has fallen, it's price risk. The quote has moved. Yesterday, you could buy the shares for £10. Now they're 15. Yesterday, you could buy the shares for £10. Now they're 8. That says nothing at all about the actual company. Just says something about the price it's available for. What we ought to be doing as investors, really, is looking at business risk. What's happened with the economics, business, the industry, sector of the economy? What's happened to margins? What's happened to demand? What's happened to competition? What's happened to regulation? What do we think is going to happen in 6, 12, 18, 24 months? And how's that going to impact the underlying asset that we are seeking to buy? You've got to look at balance sheet risk. You know, there was a firm a couple of months ago, First Brands, big automotive supplier. And it turned out that they'd borrowed billions more in balance sheet financing than shareholders knew about. And all of a sudden, the rating agencies found out about it and went, well, we thought you'd borrowed 10 billion, you've actually borrowed 21. I don't think you can actually pay back 21 billion, so we're going to cut your credit rating to junk. That is a very, very real risk for you as an owner of that company. That is, oh my gosh, red lights on the dashboard. Slam the brakes on, like, we've got huge problems here. Because if they can't refinance that debt, if they do break the debt covenants, they're insolvent. And you as a shareholder will get nothing. The bondholders will be paid out first, and they'll probably have to take a pay cut to get anything. Now, your job isn't I mean, it can be to minimize volatility. You know, you don't necessarily want a portfolio that's yin-yanging around everywhere. But long term, it's to avoid permanent loss of capital. And it's to allocate the capital that you have got to generate attractive future returns. The whole reason that we're all here running money, as it were, is to try to generate a positive future return. Now, just because the quote changes 20% today and 20% again the day after doesn't mean that you've permanently lost capital. It just means that the market is uncertain about what you're looking at. So what I wanted to discuss today with you, Pete, is some of these names. What have we seen that's been volatile? Do we think it's a permanent hole in the business and therefore a drop is warranted? Or do we think, you know, maybe the market's got this wrong. Maybe the market is just uncertain and maybe there's an opportunity there. So with that sort of intro laid out for you, would you like to start with our first share of the episode?
Yes, I would, Henry. And I'm going to cover quite a few, but I'm just going to give you the names of these for you ladies and gents to go away and research. And some of these stocks have been very, very volatile. And some of them are at 52-week highs, and some of them are at 52-week lows. And before I do that, today, Wednesday, the 4th of February, at 5:29, there was another RNS that came out after the bell. Yeah. And that, Henry, was a statement regarding Hikma Pharmaceuticals. I do not own the company. I do not have any shares in the company. But during today's trading, where a lot of stocks went up, this stock went up 5% to £16.32. It's been very, very significantly higher over the past couple of years. And then it's fallen back on some negative sentiment in more recent months. It's a stock I previously held and I sold much higher than this. And I've got it and I had it on my watch list. And I was intrigued as to why is it creeping up now? There's no news anyway. Today at 29 minutes past five, a statement from Brookfield Private Capital Limited stating it wasn't going to make a bid. And I was like, So whether that goes up tomorrow again or not, there's no disclosure on price or whatever, but they could equally come back in 6 months' time. I hadn't seen any previous news that they were making a bid, but maybe there was noise and chatter via insiders that's not been disclosed. But they're saying they're not going to make a bid. But again, this is an example of a stock that's unloved that somebody was thinking about buying for Brookfield to come out and say, actually, we're not going to buy it. Yeah. So that's very interesting. So a couple of stocks. We've spoken about these, I think, in the past, most of them anyway, are sitting at 52-week highs. We talked about volatility and finding resilient companies in the last pod. These are companies to go away and have a look at and research, because despite all the noise and all the grief and all the different things going on the FTSE, these are the stocks that are sitting at 52-week highs that I want you guys to go away and have a look at. And you look at the details you want to look at. Centrica, Beckenizer, or is it Benkizer? I've forgotten.
Benkizer, I think.
Seven Strength, National Grid, 52-week highs. Another all this AI stuff to do with Anthropic and all the rest of it. Those stocks there, I can't see where AI
impacts them.
Agentic skills and tools and solutions can go and do that work. Okay? They maybe can enhance the efficiencies within those companies, but I can't replace it. Yeah? So they're sitting at 52-week highs. That's showing resilience. Yeah, the Nick Trains and the Terry Smith stocks include some of these stocks. 52-week lows, right? Pearson, Relex, which I own, getting smashed to pieces. Sage, YouGov, another company, getting smashed as well. I've been on my radar for a little while, don't own it. But the AI cannot replace the industrial stocks, and they're actually doing better. One stock to investigate as well. I'm not going to go into detail about it. It's digging holes. It's the top of its game. It's got wheels the size of houses next to it. In the mining sector, what's the name of the company? Caterpillar. Go and investigate Caterpillar. It's going to go from strength to strength going forward. Why? because we need more gold, we need more copper, we need more silver, we need more platinum, palladium, lithium. They're going to be utilized to go and dig those mines and extract those metals, and critical metals and rare earths are going to become even more needed over the next 20 years. Yeah, there's going to be deficits of certain minerals and also metals going forward. So who could be a resilient company? Caterpillar could definitely be one. I don't own the stock, but it's definitely a stock to go and research. Henry, thoughts on Caterpillar, Centrica, Reckitt, Severn Trent, which I think you mentioned last week, last podcast? Yeah.
And this is the thing. Look at what the market's responding to here. This is what you're doing. You're right. AI is not going to suddenly start laying water pipes in the street. And it's not going to start pumping water out of reservoirs and building reservoirs. Like that. If one day we've got a completely autonomous workforce 50 years from now,
the robots are coming. Investigate some of these robotic stocks that are mainly in the US.
If you want to laugh, go and look at the Beijing Robotics Championship and watch them all falling over, because I feel quite sorry for them. If they were people, they'd have hurt themselves quite badly. I'm being a little bit flippant there, but yes, you're right. There is robotics and automation. We're not still going around in a horse and cart, for example. But the extent to which these will impact different industries is different. And so you've got to analyze the industry, the business and what they do. Caterpillar produce machinery.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code Twin Peaks. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe today using the Twin Peaks promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit shareScope.co.uk for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
Now, just whether you've got a robot driving the machinery or a person driving the machinery, you still need the machinery.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this goes back to my discussion, and I had several people contacting me asking me questions about how do you work out the intrinsic value, Peter? How you're getting all these takeovers and all the rest of it. I'm not looking at the intrinsic value for the takeover. I'm looking for the intrinsic value of a company so I can buy it at a deep discount to what the market is saying it's currently worth. Exactly. And what Henry is saying, and you've got to hear this loud and clear, ladies and gentlemen, that the chop and the volatility regarding some of these stocks, these very, very highly coveted stocks from only 6 months ago, that were sitting at 52-week highs themselves and now sitting at 52-week lows, the intrinsic value of those companies has not changed. It's the perception of what Anthropic could or could not do, which is currently unproven for the vast majority of these stocks. What impact they could have on these businesses. The current intrinsic value of some of these stocks has not changed in the past week. And they will not change in the next month unless there's some significant news that's positive catalyst for the share price and intrinsic value, or a negative impact regarding the intrinsic value. So the current share price of that company, the Sages of the world, hasn't changed. So have a think about that, and don't be one of those chasing the stocks potentially because it's gone up 15%. Be one of those that goes, you know what, I'm going to be brave enough to stand on my own two feet, be independent thinking, and go, I'm going to buy some of that stocks. I've done my own research on it, and I see value on it. If it goes right, kudos to you. If it goes wrong, we always get one or two or three stocks wrong. That's part and parcel of the game. But don't be sitting here a year from now going, I remember when those stocks were at 52-week lows, when, you know, Henry and Peter were talking about them back in February. And look at it now, it's at 52-week highs. Oh, gosh, it's just taken a 50, 60% premium on the takeover. The opportunities are sitting right in front of us. And we will not go through February, folks, without another 33, 43, 53% premium takeover. Yeah, I guarantee it. We'll have more takeovers coming this month. And you'll be going, ooh.
Yep. Yep. And this is the thing. You've got to go and put the work in and think about what.
Absolutely.
What are you buying? Why are you buying it? How is the world going to react to this business? I mean, we had some news out earlier this week, actually. RELX, ticker REL, global provider of information-based analytics and decision tools across a whole range of industries. And, you know, we've talked about it on the podcast. It's in the media. You've got people like Nick Train saying it's one of the UK's shining jewels. And then it somehow manages to drop, you know, 15% in a day.
Yes.
And this happened, I think it was actually yesterday, if I'm right. The shares closed at £22.14, down 15% on the day, because the market responded to news that AI is coming. And the market repriced an assumption that rather than just being a temporary blip in the future, RELX is dead. It is toast. I don't want to own this. It is never, ever, ever going to survive in a world where ChatGPT exists, or Anthropic, or Gemini, or whatever.
Claude.
Now, I am not saying that the market's got this wrong necessarily. I don't own RELX. Peter does, and Peter's getting absolutely, you know, beaten around the head with this one. But my question is, Peter's done his research, you know, he's got a thesis that this business has got a significant data set, significant industry links, a very experienced management team and strong track record, right? So there's things that Peter likes about this company. He's gone and bought some. The shares drop a bit. Has the business actually changed?
No.
So Peter tops up a little bit. And then yesterday, the shares drop another 15%. So what should Peter do in this situation? Should Peter go, you know what, I got this wrong. Shares are down, I don't know, let's say 25% from where I bought them in. Let's say Peter started buying in January. I don't know when you did, but let's just say January. I've dropped 25% in 4 weeks. I've got it wrong, I walk away. To me, that's not investing. If you trust your thesis and you've done your research and you've risk managed your position accurately, that 25% drop's not smashing your portfolio to smithereens. If you've got a 1% position in RELX, you've lost 0.25%, right? You can afford to top that up to keep it at 1%. And if it drops another 25%, you can afford to put a little bit more in. Now, I made a joke about catching falling knives, but the business hasn't changed in a month. And so, to me, you're better off doing your research on a good quality company. Maybe that's RELX, maybe that's not. But I think this is one where the market is uncertain about what's going to happen.
I might well have got it wrong, you know, and we'll find out in the next couple of months. I think it's going to be very interesting if we see some RNSs or some disclosures from Terry Smith and Nick Train being the most coveted fund managers in the country. And they say, we've got it wrong and we've exited RELX. Yeah. The likelihood of that, I think, are slim, but it's possible. And if they come out and say, yeah, Anthropic's going to absolutely murder them, then the share price will again go down significantly. But I recall Neil Woodford coveting AstraZeneca back in the day, many, many moons ago, when the share price was about £48 or so, saying he'd never sell it and this is going to be the best blah, 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 blah stock ever from the UK and it's undervalued. And then slowly but surely over the next 3 months of that particular year, X amount of years ago, he exited AstraZeneca at 46, 47, 48 quid. And now, Henry, it's peaked recently at £144 per share. Yeah, and I think it's probably at 136, 138. It's my largest holding. I don't have to look at it that often because I'm just like, yeah, crack on. But Nick Train, Terry Smith, if they come out and say, I've exited it, the share price will go down again because everyone's going to take a knee-jerk reaction to that. If they come out and say, oh, we bought some more, we think this is silly because they've got such a moat and they actually work with some of these AI companies already and they've embedded AI in what their offering is already, which we know. We don't see what the problem is, and they're actually going to thrive and possibly get to work with Anthropic. The share price is going to go like that, but right now it's sitting on
It's
its
in the
knees
gutter.
going, why us? And I'm sitting here going, okay, it's part and parcel, Henry. I've got a 50, 60% premium with Bears, and I'm getting smashed to pieces with with Beasley, and I'm getting smashed to pieces with Alex. I'm like, that's part of the game. You've got to take the losers with a good grace that you take the winners. It's part and parcel of investing, people.
Spot on, mate. Spot on. And that leads me to another name, and I don't know if you own this or owned it, but this is on the flip side. This is one where I kind of went, "What are you doing?" And I'm not deliberately throwing rocks. This is a bit of a coincidence. I was doing the
You're
research
always
before
throwing
the
rocks at
episode.
me, Henry. I'm used to it, mate. I've got the bruises to prove it.
Where an example where big declines do actually reflect poor business performance, right? So sometimes, yeah, the market's got this right. It doesn't matter how many times you average down on Carillion, it's going to zero, right? And I that was one of mine, and I got that wrong. It was one of the first investments I ever made, and I kept kind of, oh no, it'll come back, and it never did. Now, this isn't where the market's being irrational. This is where the market has successfully analyze the available information and come to the correct judgment. And this is what happens, when the price is reacting to balance sheet fragility, governance failures, broken business models. This is red flag territory. Get out now, guys. Wood Group, John Wood Group, tickers WG. It's an engineering and consultancy business that serves the energy and material sector. And their operations are basically in four parts. They've got some engineering and procurement and project management type consultancy stuff. They've got an operations segment and they've got a consulting bit that does sort of technical advisory work. Now, this has had some absolutely catastrophic drops over time. Let me just call up the share graph on Sharescope. Back in 2021, this was just under £4 a share, and today it's down at 26 pence. It dropped 40% in 2021 and then had a rally, and it went from £3.80 down to £2 and bounced back up to 2.20. Market's not sure. It lasted a quarter, gave bad results, dropped another probably 40%, drops under £2, goes down to 180, has another rally. The market's not sure. And then it fell off a cliff again with another bad update, down another 40%. It slid all the way down to £1.50. Still, people started dipping the toes in the water and going, nah, we think the market's got this wrong. We think this could turn around. We think it's going to be okay. The shares recovered. They went back up to £2. Great. Whoop-de-doo. You're a genius, right? You've made your 15% or whatever it is. And then guess what? It had another bad trading update. The shares drop another 40%. It's back down to £1.50. And it trails along the bottom for a while. Bumps around £1.50, £1.60, £1.50, £1.40. Now, at that point, what do you do as an investor? Have you got this right? Have you got this wrong? You've done your technical analysis. You've done your sum of the parts, right? You've sat there and you've gone through this business line by line and you've decided, no, it's worth more than £1.50. I reckon get maybe £3 for this, let's say. Discount to the £4, whatever it once was, but better price than today. But you've got a management team that doesn't know what on earth they're doing. And then the catastrophe comes. We've got accounting problems. Oh my days. Write downs. We've got balance sheet problems. We've got revenue recognition issues. We've got more debt than we thought we've got. Don't worry, we'll fix it next quarter. The shares drop 40%. Next quarter comes along. Yeah, I know we said we got this under control, but it turns out we didn't. We've just fired the CFO. The shares drop another 40%. You think it can't possibly get any worse. Oh no, guys, because now you've got a broken business that's got bad governance and it's still not actually performing well as a business. The shares have another bad update and they go all the way down to the bottom to 20 odd pence, where they've now trailed up. Now, this to me is a perfect example of where the market has given you warnings over years, years and years and years. Different warnings, but warnings nonetheless. And if you've
signs
tried to
are there,
catch
as
that
the good book time, says, the signs are there.
You yeah. lose your fingers, guys. This isn't a hidden diamond. This is a hand grenade with the pin pulled out. Don't catch the thing because it will blow up in your face.
Brilliant example, Henry. It's a stock that I held before, 23-24, had a takeover bid, which they were looking at, and I just got a bit nervous about it. So I sold some at 210, had a very lucky escape. And then I think it was only about a month later, I only trimmed the position, I didn't exit it. They came out and said multiple bids, and then the bid wasn't happening, they'd walked away. I think they'd found some skeletons then. And I was forced to exit the share after it fell 44% on that announcement. And then it's just been, as you said, profit warnings after profit warnings. Profit warnings, I've got it in front of me because I kept it. That's the reason why I'm on X. As I share the journey, the good, the bad, the warts and all. So I've already exited now. So 17th of the 2nd, 25, minus 55%.
Oh,
yeah, 20 ouch. Down to 29 pence. And then Sidara were basically saying they're back with a bid and the shares are 42 pence. And then more failings. You know, when I said identify some failings, it's usually, as Henry says, accountancy failings, debts, contract losses, and all the rest of it. The share price are wallowing down, went to sub 20 pence from £4 X amount of years ago. And then I finally was sitting there going, they've offered 35 pence here for this company and no one's interested in it. And the share price actually went to less than half of the 35 pence. So I picked some up in around that sort of region. I've still got them. And the bid now has been reduced again because of what they found, skeletons are found in the cupboard. And it's fixed at 30 pence. But yet the share price is sitting at 26. Nobody wants it. And I'm sat there just waiting for this to conclude, because Sidara are knees deep in this now. And it's going to conclude at 30 pence in the next 3 to 6 months. It's not much, but I'm just wanting to get that additional little premium there on the arbitrage, and then I'll exit it fully. It's not a massive position, but it's one of them where I went in tentatively and thought, they've already agreed 35. I was expecting more than that. It's a bit of a loss. Let me just have a little nibble at it. And it's worked out thus far. I've got a stop loss at 20p, which will cover me and the time I've wasted on it with a bit of a profit. But Henry, this has been a catastrophic mismanagement of a company. Your big thing regarding stocks, one of your big things about stocks, is debt. And they straddle themselves with loads of debt, mismanage loads of contracts, margins too thin on many contracts, and they got absolutely spanked. And Sidara will now get those contracts, make the company far more efficient going forward, and have that client list that they've got all around the world, and will lose a large company. What was a large company in the UK? Yep. With offices all around the world, but North Sea was where they started, really.
But one of the things I like that you said there. So we're talking about, I as a long-term investor am looking for. I'm quite risk averse in what I'm investing in. If you hadn't figured that one out, what Peter's done there is actually be a little bit savvy around the volatility. So we're talking about volatility, right? Remember, this is where the market can't figure out what to do. So the price is jumping about. Now, Peter sees the initial, oh, geez, we've got a 55% drop, right? We've got bad news, I'm out. So you take the loss. What he didn't do is go, I'm just going to walk away and not try to understand what the underlying value is. And he's come back at 15 pence, way, way down the track. And gone, well, it's not worth £2.50, but it's worth more than 15 pence. And that's now a position that's gone all the way back up. He's on a, you know, it's at 29p.
It's nearer to,
that's
nearer
nearly
to
up.
18 pence. Is, nearer to 18 pence is where I bought it.
But, you know, let's say it's
30
a,
pence. Yeah, it's 30 pence. I've made a significant, you know, bonus on
you're
it.
You're talking of 60, 70% gain on that
Absolutely.
Tranche of the position. And this is the thing about volatility. Yes, it can be eye-watering. Yes, it can be scary. Yes, it can be terrifying. But your job as an investor, right, it's to allocate capital to attractive forward returns. And Peter, 60% return in 6 months, 10% a month. Whether you do that from 18 pence to 30 pence on a terrible company or 100 pence to £1.60, it's the same 60% return.
It is, Henry. The thing I would say with the Wood Group one is that it's still not completed yet. And I hope they don't find any more irregularities going forward. I just want it to be concluded. And it might get to the point where we get to April and I'll just go, you know, there's literally 14-15% in it left, really. And ordinarily, I'd let, you know, sub 10% go, 9%, 8% go and go, yeah, I'm moving on. But there is something about the having a bit of patience sometimes to just get to maximize your return. But we'll see what happens with that. But it was a high risk punt, but it wasn't a large position either. You know, so you've got to have to position size regarding your risk and how much volatility you're willing to take on regarding each and individuals, each and every stock. And like I say, the return I'm getting on Wood Group for the short time frame I've had it is significantly more than the current position I've got with RELX, which is meant to be the safer stock.
Yeah.
A blue chip FTSE 100 stock has been smashed to ribbons, whereas this indebted pile of poop has done better. It's madness. But that therein is the life of the markets, mate.
Yeah. Spot on, mate. Spot on. And I mean, you know, I've got, if we've got time for one more.
Yeah, go for
you
it.
Know, there's another one of these big blue chip names. And again, people will have seen this in the press. This isn't a hidden gem by any means, but it's a company I'm watching very closely. I have no position. It's Experian, EXPN, right? It's one of the leading credit bureaus in America and the UK. It provides consumer information for sort of market lending decisions, credit ratings, that sort of thing. Analytics, marketing data, credit products. It's a big data business. And hey, guess what? In a world where you can stick something in ChatGPT for 20 pence, why do you need Experian, right? And the market's absolutely battering it. Just yesterday, the shares dropped 8.3% from, it was, I think it was about 25 and a half pence down to down from about 27 and a half pounds, something like that. Now, the thing is, credit bureaus, really, it's not generic knowledge work. You can't go to ChatGPT and go, what is Peter Higgins' credit score? ChatGPT don't have that information. They're never going to have that information. That is private, confidential, GDPR-regulated data. Now, Experian have got the right to have it. Peter's given them the right to have it. But Peter's not going to sign away his right for anybody to see his credit score. So Experian have actually got quite a wide moat. Now, the volatility and the share price janking around all over the place, it's nerve-wracking. It'd make me nervous. What if the market's onto something here? What if ChatGPT do get hold of Peter's credit data? Experian will be toast. They'll be doomed. But I don't think that's going to happen. And I think Experian's actually got a little bit more of a moat than people are giving it, you know, credit for. And to me, I think, you know, the volatility that you're seeing, it's the price that the market is giving for owning a quality asset and for having uncertainty about the future. You don't have to accept that price by selling things at the bottom. Be a little bit more sanguine. Think outside the box. Trust your convictions and trust your research. And Experian is one that, again, I don't own it. I'm watching it very closely. I don't own it. But I think the market volatility here is more a symptom of uncertainty about the future than it is a death knell for the company.
I agree. And that particular stock is one that Terry Smith and potentially Nick Train also own. And they've vetted and they've researched that to the yin yang and have invested shareholders' money into that to the tune of millions. So it'll be very interesting to see what they say about it the next time they have to speak to individuals regarding Experian. It's one of those stocks that I've hovered over even today, Henry, to purchase. I'm going to give it a few more days with regards to it, because this AI flux, as I like to call it, could continue a bit longer. Is the bottom in for Experian? I don't know. But it's one I've got my beady eyes on. And again, it's got a, as you just said, it's got a huge moat. It's got information that cannot be shared, will not be shared, cannot be accessed elsewhere by other entities. And there's only three or four other companies in the world of that sort of size that do what Experian do. So it's not something which all of a sudden a essential AI startup can replace overnight. So we will see. I'll have a look at it again in the morning, which will be Thursday the 5th. I'll have a look at it maybe Friday. But at some point or other, that share price will stabilize. And I will be a buyer of Experian. I've had that on my list of stocks to buy for ages. We've spoken about it on here before.
We have. And this is the thing. The more episodes you and I have done, the more we've kind of gone, well, okay, actually, I wouldn't say we're aligned in what we look at, but there are certain things, you know, you and I experience, and if I had to take a guess at it before you just said that, yeah, I'd have said, yeah, that probably is a company of the sort that Peter would be interested in. You know, I wouldn't say you've been my primary teacher in the stock market, but you've certainly been a huge influence.
I would hope not, my friend. I'm taking far more risks at my age now than you should be taking at your age. You've got far more decades to compound than I've got left, mate. So follow me.
I have learned a lot from watching and listening to you investing over the years. And so it's quite reassuring in a lot of ways. Not because it's like, oh, it's got the Peter seal of approval, but it's almost a reinforcement that I've learned something from you. You know, you've not told me to go and buy Experian or to talk about it, but somehow I've absorbed some of the lessons that we've been talking about on air, and I've gone away and I've done my own research, and now here we are talking about it, you know, and that's quite nice in a lot of ways.
That's very, very, very kind of you, mate. I mean, I'm not sure if I've ever spoken to you and said, Henry, go and buy that stock. I don't think had that conversation. And this is the beauty of the conversation, the friendship that we've got. I don't give you any advice. You say to me, I'm looking at something like that. And I'll say to you, have you considered this? Have you considered that? And you go, all right, I'm going to go away and do that. Yeah. And equally, I've gone and gone to you. I've done my research. I've gone and bought that. And you've gone, what were you thinking? What is wrong with you, man? But this is the difference in our, you know, flavorings of what we like. I tend to have lots of FTSE 100, FTSE 250 stocks. But I also have my little bundle there, the smaller portion of my portfolio, which is a bit more adventurous, a bit more risky, because I just need to have that injection of something to keep my interest. I'm reading about stocks all day long, every day, researching stuff, learning stuff. And I'm thinking, that looks really cheap.
Yeah.
What's going on there? And I'm thinking, I'm looking around, I'm looking for everybody talking about it. No one's talking about it. And there it is, sitting there, looking like a basket case. And the company is worth a pound, but everyone's valuing it in the market now at 40p or 50p. I'm like, I could buy that and leave that sitting there for a year. Don't need to tell anyone about it.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think this is the thing, going back to the competition. Lots of people wanted to be participating in the competition, but didn't necessarily want to engage and tell us about how the stocks were doing. What you and I are doing on X is sharing the journey of how we're doing regarding the stocks we're investing in, what we like and what we don't like, and things we see that we're like, oh, that's horrible. The management really haven't looked after the shareholders there. And I think if we do more of that, and just, as we said in the last pod, filter out all of the other noise, yeah, that's on X, and just have it so it's a, not a vacuum, but threads of financial education and literacy and stocks and shares, and not the other political nuances and machinations of all these other people that are doing bad stuff, then we can build a bigger community, Henry.
Well, on that note, actually, there is someone I'd like to give a shout out to on Blue Sky.
Yep.
I don't talk about Blue Sky very often. I had a really nice conversation earlier this week with a chap called Steve Marcus.
Yeah, he used to be on X a lot. He's
He used
not, I
to
don't
be
think
on
he lives on X
X.
at all anymore. Yeah,
We had a, it wasn't a long conversation, but a nice bit of back and forth about a company I own, well, we both own, called AlgaMask. The trading update, what we thought about it. I felt it was a little bit vague. I think we both felt it was a little bit vague in places. It wasn't a bad update in terms of what it said. It just left out a few things that, you know, it was hard. You had to go back and do some research to go, well, where were you a year ago compared to today? I know you're up compared to 3 months ago, but
Yeah.
I want to see a longer term picture, and you've sort of blurred that a little for me. That I loved it. I really, really loved it. It put a smile on my face for the day. I got a little ping from him going, what do you think about this? And I was like, you know what? We've had a really nice chat there. So thank you very much, Steve. Really appreciate it, mate.
Yeah, we've got to go back to what the reasons why we came on Twitter. We've got to go back to that Twitter of old and X as it is now. And make it about the investing community and stocks and shares and how and what and where and the reasons why things are of interest, and not about this political party, that political party, who's doing what, who's done what, and make it so people are walking through treacle, because that's the reason why people leaving X as a platform. You know, and at the minute I don't see that happening at Blue Sky. I'm hoping it doesn't go that way. And it's a nicer community, but there's not enough interactions there yet regarding it all. But yeah, it's a lovely, lovely place to be. And we need to just create more of that elsewhere. I've got an idea regarding how we could possibly do some more work regarding that going forward and getting a community together, which is what we were trying to do with podcasts 169 and 170 at Christmas, when we had the live pod and had people in the virtual rooms to share information. So I'm having a look at that. But I've got enough going on at the minute, Henry. You know what I mean?
Join
I've got it.
the club.
I've got to find some time to sleep and all the rest of it.
Join the
But
club,
I'm
mate.
conscious that we've been on here for a little while now. But thank you, ladies and gents, ever so much again for listening to Henry and I. Henry, once again, brilliant work, mate. Thank you for sorting out all of that stuff
My
regarding
pleasure.
the comps. I'm hoping people will get in touch with us. And thank you for all the other research stuff that you've done on the pod today and all the other ones that you've done over the last 2 and a bit years. You will be coming up to your third anniversary soon, mate, I think,
Do I
on
get
this
a
pod.
little cone hat or something?
You, I've got something for when I see you, mate. I'll be bringing for you. Don't worry about that. I will look after you. I always do. I always look after you. I'll be bringing you a little prezi. Don't you worry about that. And also, thank you, ladies and gents, for your continued support. Please subscribe to Henry's account on X at HT Viola, and also on Blue Sky. And you can find us on LinkedIn. Henry and I on LinkedIn, and you can find us both on Blue Sky and on X and YouTube, Apple, iTunes, Amazon, Google. You find us everywhere. Just subscribe, tell us what you're thinking. We'll be distributing some prizes over the course of the year for the most active individuals that are supporting us and retweeting and reposting and commenting on all the different platforms. So we'll see what happens going forward. But as I always say, kindness matters. Look after each other. Show kindness. Support the other individuals that are on X and elsewhere. Investing is hard. So when someone gets a good result, say congratulations, well done. Because when one day you're going to have a result and you're going to be going, oh, this has happened to me in my investment. And if it's just tumbleweed, you'll be going, why is everybody not saying well done? Because it's hard. It's hard to just say thank you, say well done, show some kindness to others, and let's build a really caring, nurturing community, because it is difficult out there. Right, Henry, love to the boss. Enjoy the rest of the week. I will sort this out and get this prepped for Monday. Not Monday, a
Friday.
Friday, even better, on a Friday, as
They'll be
standard.
beating our door down if this goes out on Monday. There'll be a mob of people at Bank Station.
Senior moment, senior moment. I'll get this ready for Friday, mate. I'll sort this out. So if you good ladies and gentlemen can go and find the Twin Peaks Investing Challenge page, which is, I've lost it again now, Henry. Lost
Not
the
the
page where
challenge
I've put
page,
that
the
on.
charity page.
The
So
charity page,
it is
which is justgiving.com /page Twin Peaks Investing Podcast 2026. Please make a donation and support us to support Mark Bentley of ShareSocks' financial educational legacy. Okay, that's it. Okay, Henry. Thank you, ladies and gents. You take care. God bless you all. Bye for now.
Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.